Conference Committee on House Bill 2458. Good morning, committee members and those that are here. I'll take a couple folks' testimony this morning, and that we do have two alternatives to look at, and I'm going to ask Tamara Mattett to come forward, please. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here. It's a long drive. You know that.
Very long drive, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you for having me. I'm a land use planner, so I can speak for a very long time and put everybody to sleep, but I won't do that this morning.
I'm not awake yet.
Okay. Well, you'll be an easy kill then, so. Okay. What I wanted to share with you, first of all, is an inventory of rural industrial lands that I myself have put together.
What a name.
Oh, my name.
Did you know you said name? Your name, but who are you with?
Oh, sure.
Land use planner.
I know these two guys so well. I'm sorry for being informal. I am Tamara Mattett. I am the Umatilla County Planning Director.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been a planning director for over 10 years now. I also this year am the president of the Association of Oregon County Planning Directors. Today I am speaking as Tamara Mattett, the Umatilla County Planning Director, but I do have a bit of testimony to share on behalf of our professional organization. Thank you. What is being handed out to you, and let's see if I have some extra copies for the audience. I apologize, but I have just three. This is an inventory that I have been working on for about 6 months now. And this is an inventory of 34 out of 36 counties in Oregon. I began this exercise as a member of the LCDC Committee on Rural, Commercial, and Industrial Lands. My initial question as a member of that committee was, what's the universe? What's the scope of this issue we are looking at? Because I had a hunch that we weren't talking about hundreds of thousands of acres of rural industrial or rural commercial lands, that we were talking about something much smaller. And the committee, after our first meeting, agreed that that would be an important piece of information before the committee could make some policy. So I set out to compile the information. The two counties, unfortunately, that have not reported, Chair Girard, one includes Klamath County. They seem to be a little bit in flux and pretty busy to get me their firm number, and also Curry County, and they're having some personnel transition there as well. But as you can see on the flip side of the piece of paper, the total number of acres of rural industrial lands in the state of Oregon is a little over 41,000 acres. Of those, 15,000 are vacant. Outside the Willamette Valley, the number is not quite half. It's a little over half. It's 28,241, and about 13,000 are vacant. So the scope of 2458 pertains to those lands that are outside the Willamette Valley. You'll see that on the left-hand column, the Department of Land Conservation and Development estimate is in some cases similar, in some cases different. What I did to compile this data so I knew I had current data was I either emailed and heard a timely email response, or I've been begging for the information over the phone. My staff and I have done that because I think the issue is so important to have very accurate information. What I would say to you today is I'm of the opinion, as well as the County Planning Directors Association, that the scope of this is very limited and very small, albeit very significant for rural Oregon. In my county, it's incredibly significant. I know Chair Girard hosted a hearing in Hermiston. You heard the kind of blood, sweat, and tears testimony of it's the lifeblood of that West County area. So if we don't resolve this issue, West County, which has historically in the past 10 years really been our growing community, is going to see some serious economic hardships. So the County Planning Directors Association, I have a collection of emails. They unanimously support removing the sunset on industrial lands, for rural industrial lands. As my colleague in one of the metro counties said, go for it. It's a big fight, but it's much ado about nothing, meaning there just aren't very many acres. The potential for removing the sunset to have a negative effect on our statewide land use planning program is very, very minimal. So it's actually a very safe move. You'll hear testimony today from the governor's office, and with all due respect, I don't know how they came to that conclusion without seeing these numbers. I think the numbers tell an awful lot. So I'm here today as an advocate for Umatilla County and of my peer group, the County Planning Directors Association. I also can speak as a member of the committee, although I haven't been endorsed to do that, but I have participated in all three of the LCDC committee meetings. And to date, where we are is we have recognized that if this committee is to recommend a new administrative rule or a new goal, we need to bifurcate our review so that we look at lands that are currently zoned industrial and commercial and lands that in the future may be converted to commercial or industrial. And many of us believe that the standard should be different. So we recognize those lands that today, or particularly those lands that have for 30 years have been zoned industrial. And the type of policy or administrative rule procedure that we would propose for those lands would have more flexibility than lands from this day forward that are converted to industrial or commercial. My final comment, and then I'll open it up for discussion, is I firmly believe that whether you or this LCDC committee makes a recommendation, both recommendations will be entirely political. And I believe our elected officials should make that decision, not an appointed subcommittee. So unless we actually ran a very detailed land use analysis on all these industrial lands in all of rural Oregon, no one would have any way of knowing just what impact removing the building size limit would have. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Madden? Senator Nelson?
Yeah. Thank you for coming down and spending making a 250-mile-plus trip or whatever it is and coming down to testify. I think this actually is pretty interesting. To me, as I recollect, there's about 65 million acres in the state of Oregon. Is that,
I think that's right.
I think that's pretty close to something like that. So we're like talking at, I didn't figure out the percentage, but very, very small number of things. And you know, this issue we're talking about is a sunset, and just from an anecdotal point of view, when I talked with Senator Morris, and he was involved in some land use issues prior to coming into the Senate, and he was telling me that sometimes those land use things that he was involved in personally took 6 and 7 years. Do you have any experience of how long these things actually might take? I mean, they go from different things, but I guess the sunset is saying, well, you know, we're trying to give you enough time, but the argument I think that we're making for Umatilla County is, well, why have the sunset? Because it takes away some certainty in the land use planning process. So do you have any experience
with
that?
Absolutely. Well, I can speak from the public sector side. That's been the majority of my experience. I'm a lifetime bureaucrat. And it does take some time if what Senator Morris was referring to is to filing an exception. I mean, you can file a Goal 14 exception, which would be the required process to eliminate the building size limit. And that takes a good couple of years, and it's a gamble. It really is a gamble. There are the standards for a Goal 14 process, in my opinion, are pretty subjective. But if you're in the private sector, if you're making an investment in some property and you know you only have till 2012 to decide what you're going to do with it, you know, that's only 7 years away. It scares people away. Our economic development folks tell us that. Our cities tell us that. Our port districts tell us that. So 6 or 7 years of process, if that's what you're implying for, if I understand your question correctly, is not a very reasonable assurance. Most banks require a lot longer guarantee. So if I'm coming to you to borrow $1 million to buy a 10-acre parcel of industrial land, and I'm the banker, or you're the banker, are you willing to take that risk knowing that we might not have the issue resolved in 7 years, and that $1 million may not be a very good investment?
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Jensen.
Thank you. Tamara, your testimony is this is a very limited amount of the land, and if I look at this, just to put another face on that, it looks to me like 0.02% of the land. Would that be?
I didn't compare it to the 65 million acres in Oregon, but that sounds about right. It's a pretty small number.
In any measure statistically insignificant.
Right.
Except for those who are have the land or those communities where that happens to be the place. Thank you. Have you had a chance to look at the other amendment that is you're going to talk about the 13 everything? Have you had a chance to look at the dash 13?
I don't have a copy of it in front of me, but so I'd rather take a look at it before I spoke to it.
Okay.
But I, if I recall, the amendment was to continue with the sunset or to remove the sunset. So, I mean, our position very clearly is the facts are what the facts are. It's a small amount. Removing the sunset is a very, very reasonable solution.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for coming this distance.
Happy to do it.
Lane Cheddarly, and does Mike Carrier want to come up? Somewhat reluctantly. But.
Don't want to burn all my capital with you, my parents, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. I'll begin. Thank you, Chair members of the Conference Committee, Lane Cheddarly, Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I came all of 15 miles to be with you this morning. Sure. Please do that. I want to speak briefly in response to...
Representative Jensen.
Is it 15 miles from here to the offices of CDC?
No, from Dallas.
Oh.
That's where I began. I slept at home last night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a very alert committee.
Yeah, I can see what it is. And our coffee. I just want to respond briefly to a couple of things that Tamara testified to, and then address some comments to the alternative amendment that's been presented to you. I appreciate that she presented the acreage information to you and also acknowledged that that information was prepared at the request of and as part of the task force effort that LCDC has already begun. That is part of my point to underscore that we are not just saying that we are going to do something, that LCDC has embarked on this, and in fact, as I have testified to the House and Senate committees before, wanted to be sure that we were dealing with factual information as we went forward with a decision. And I'm pleased that Tamara has amassed the acreage information, which was just what the work group wanted to have before making a decision. I regret that information has not come back to the task force, but is presented to you here for action in this subcommittee. Our point in this effort on these amendments that we are proposing to you is to be allowed to continue the work. And in terms of jurisdiction, I think your comments referred to the work group as an appointed subcommittee. Of course, it is an appointed subcommittee, but it's an appointed subcommittee of the Land Conservation and Development Commission, which is statutorily charged with the oversight and administration of Oregon's land use laws. So I think that the work group is entirely in the right place under the auspices of LCDC. What we have offered to you in the amendments that are on the back of the letter that you have from Mike Carrier this morning is really putting our money where our mouth is. I have said in every committee hearing that I have spoken to this bill on that the commission is in fact doing the work that we said we would do In this amendment that you have before you, you've got a directive now statutorily confirming what the commission shall do. It is what we are doing, giving a timeline which is entirely within the timeline we expect to be able to accomplish the work. And then a new amendment in Section 4 that is what I would call a springing sunset, so that the essentially the sunset is removed unless the commission actually adopts rules or goal amendments, in which case then the completion of the commission's work would trigger the sunset, and we would ultimately then over time have problem solved through the goal or rule amendments that the commission would undertake. So this is simply, as I say, putting our money where our mouth is. We are willing to accept the statutory charge here with the condition of this springing sunset set forth in Section 4, because that only underscores what we said we were going to be doing in the first place. I appreciate working with Representative Jensen over the past week or so to try to get this. I think we're very close, apparently not close enough, but I would still commend it to you for committee action and adoption this morning of these amendments in lieu of returning the B. engrossed version of the bill to the House and Senate.
Any questions of Mr. Shetterly? Representative Jensen.
Lynn, it's my understanding that you do have, or did have, these numbers.
Oh, what
in,
I mean,
in the committee.
Mr. Chair, Representative, just what I mean, I think, is to allow the work group to complete the work based on the information that's been presented to it.
So these numbers are not a surprise to you?
No, these numbers are not a surprise. And Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, in part that's why my assurances to the committee have been that these numbers speak the same thing to the work group as they speak to this legislative committee. And I would agree substantially with the assessment of the situation that you heard from Tamara this morning. But I also would underscore that the task force is working not only on zoned industrial outside of the Willamette Valley, but also looking at commercial and also looking at land inside the Willamette Valley, and believes that this is part and parcel of that whole effort, and is most appropriately dealt with in the context of the entire work group effort that's being undertaken.
Representative Charlie, I think you will recall that I agreed to help you get this amendment through for the Willamette Valley, too.
Yes.
If that was the wish of your office and the governor's office, I'd be happy if you tried to, even at this late stage of the session, move this forward.
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, I appreciate that. Those are some of the numbers we don't have yet.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Chair? Lane, when we heard this bill originally in the House Committee, there was a very strong reference, and while we understand all of this was prior to your taking over, Director, the LCDC's task force of the past have a pretty dismal record. Why should we sit here and wait more for another task force report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's a fair question. Let me respond to that. In the period of time that I can speak to, we have had task force. We had a task force that last summer accomplished a significant amendment to the to a very thorny problem relating to conditional use permits for aggregate mines, for what we call non-significant aggregate mines, that solved a significant problem that had been created by a Court of Appeals decision out of Douglas County regarding small aggregate mines. That task force met and completed its work successfully. We had a task force that worked the entire interim on periodic review reform. That task force presented a bill that you passed out that is currently, I think, in conference committee. So the task force certainly has done its work. It's hung up in legislative action, but that is, again, a successful task force that did its work. We had a task force amending Goal 14, which streamlines the UGB expansion process. That was completed within the last 2 years. And we are very nearly to the end of a work amending Goal 9, which is economic development, again, to streamline that process. Mr. Chair, I think in the last couple of years, we've had some very successful task forces under LCDC and under the department, and I give you my assurances that this task force will continue its work to successful conclusion with the guarantee, Mr. Chair, that you have in Section 4 that if this task force is not successful, the problem solves itself.
What is your response to the much ado about nothing comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think in terms of acreage, I agree with the numbers that you have from Tamara. I think that in terms of impact, the impact is likely to be insignificant. And I also agree in terms of the perception in rural Oregon as to the relationship between the land use planning program and economic development. But frankly, that was one of the very charges that the governor gave to me and this new commission, was to get the commission engaged in his strategy for economic development across the state. And I would consider it a favor and an honor to be able to complete that task with regard to this effort, as we have begun to deliver on the economic development front that the governor has tasked us to achieve. And that's what I'm asking to have the opportunity to do.
Senator Shields.
Well, I'm just confused by this in the sense that in Section 4 there, essentially we have said you've got 3 months to get the job done. If you don't get it done, the sunset goes away.
Mr. Chair, it's a year and 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months.
Oh, 06. Excuse me. A year and 6 months. Or 3 months. What's the matter with... I don't understand. I mean, they have set a parameter to make themselves perform. And the complaint has been about them not performing. So I'm just having trouble understanding why we're... It sounds like this was a compromise that was reached, and then it fell apart over the weekend. Why did it fall apart? I don't understand. It seems like good policy.
Senator Ringo?
Well, I guess just from my perspective, it does sound like a reasonable compromise, and I think the department has gotten good faith to try to put this together. But I come back to the reasons I voted for this the last time we had a conference committee, and that is we're not talking EFU, we're talking about land that is zoned industrial, and if folks come from Umatilla County and tell me that this is something that they need to generate jobs in their areas, I don't want to be telling them no. I don't want to be doing anything to put up any roadblocks or any delays. And since we're not talking EFU, it seems like there's very little to lose in moving us forward. So to me, it's not being critical of the negotiation or the compromise that have taken place. I just don't see a reason not to move it forward and go ahead and remove the sunset.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ringo, just in response to that, in terms of this and the relationship to opportunity in Umatilla County, Tamara knows the number better than I, but we did work with the county last year in accomplishing a very significant Goal 14 exception that granted around 1,000 acres of industrial land, made that available, as well as I think several hundred acres of commercial land, designating that as an exception of Goal 14. There's not an issue if you're looking at the county, particularly the West County in the Hermiston area. I don't think it's an issue of lack of supply that's going to be an immediate crisis for economic development opportunities. I think there is plenty of available industrial land. This is really looking more into the future, and this is more about policy than it is about an immediate impact for the county.
Just a follow-up, Mr. Chair. You're asking me to analyze, though, what's needed for economic development in Umatilla County on non-EFU land. I'm just saying I don't want to do that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ringo, I think what we're asking is for LCDC as the statutory body with the responsibility to administer the state land use planning program to address this in a comprehensive statewide policy way, as opposed to directing a particular outcome to a particular part of a particular county, but really looking at this in a statewide issue, because it is a statewide issue.
13,000 acres is a statewide issue?
Mr. Chair, of course, these acres are spread out statewide, and as I mentioned, the scope of the task force is not limited to outside the Willamette Valley. And so those numbers are not reflected in the numbers that you have there. It is a policy issue.
I just have difficulty with that part of it, Lane. When you're talking about 2/1,000ths of the land available in this state, that we're having all of this to do with just that amount, when the community wants it, the counties want it. I don't understand, but what I do understand is this is what eventually winds up with ballot measures, is because you, our state agencies don't respond. And I'm not saying you can give everything that everybody wants, but this seems to be a reasonable request from these folks. A reasonable request for economic development and to create jobs, and it just seems like we keep throwing a bureaucracy barrier there to prevent these folks from doing something that seems to be the right thing to do. So,
Mr. Chair, in terms of not responding, I guess that is my point. We have responded. We're asking in these amendments to be allowed to finish the work that we have begun in response, with the guarantee that if we fail in that, we're happy to live with the statutory outcome here that guarantees the outcome that the committee is inclined in the B amendments to move forward. I think that's the element of the compromise here, because we are responding. And I take this very seriously as part of my charge from the governor to do. And so it is not a case of not responding, and it's not a case of throwing up roadblocks. It's a matter of the best process and policy way to achieve that. And I think that's where the honest disagreement comes from. It's not a question of substantial disagreement on the outcome. And it's certainly not a case of non-response on the part of the department.
Well, reality is one thing and perception is another. Mr. Carrier, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Mike Carrier with the Governor's Office, and I just want to say very briefly that our position is unchanged from when this language was first adopted by the legislature, which was that we did not favor the permanent codification of this mechanism, that it was intended to be a stopgap until LCDC had an opportunity to do its work. And the irony of this is that I believe that regardless of what happens, as a practical matter, we'll end up in the same place. So what we're down to here is really debating over what I regard as symbolism. Director Shetterly has put very succinctly that what this is really about is having the confidence and trust in the LCDC to get it right, to do it right, to do what it's intended to do. And that's our position, is we strongly support the department, its commission, and both encourage and support them to go forward with the goal amendment and the rule adoption, and for you to afford them that opportunity to do that. It may be much ado about nothing with regard to the amount of land involved or the actual impact out there on the ground, but it is much ado about something with regard to how we go forward with our land use process in the future. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you. I appreciate all the work you guys have been doing with these things. I mean, this, from my viewpoint, is that if we're getting up the same place, one of the things that we have when we talk with our constituents is a huge distrust of what government agencies do. And I know Lane and other committees that says one of the biggest things is trying to overcome that perception of where the agency's going and all that sort of thing. And I'm just thinking, you know, as a practical matter, I mean, my people out there, and I just don't have a lot of trust in task forces and people coming out from the city. Are you talking about water out there? Do you have any idea what the water issue is in Umatilla County? Do you have any of those things that, I mean, this is an issue, might be, I think it's statewide, I think the counties, and I think the testimony from Tamara was that, you know, she has a lot of support within the planning commission, so why don't we just get it done? Just go do it. I mean, it's a complex issue, but it seems to me that those people, we have to trust people at the community level. In all honesty, east of the mountains, the folks you have out there in your land use offices are not very well thought of. I mean, they come out of Bend, and they don't have any real contact with what's going on in LeGrand or Pendleton or Hermiston or Malaga County. And it's really difficult for us to come in and say, well, we'll trust you, because basically people out there know.
Mr. Chair, if I may respond, it's not a question particularly, but I guess I think in coming from the legislative branch and now residing where I do in the executive, frankly, I think that we serve citizens statewide in an effort to build trust in government. And I guess I would ask that you recognize this as an opportunity to allow LCDC to fulfill its commitment and thereby earn some trust, because I think we can do it. I think we've made a good down payment. The work we did, frankly, in Umatilla County last year was some very good work. I want to continue that, and in doing that together, I think we can help rebuild trust in government generally by allowing us to fulfill on the commitment that we have made.
Just to follow up here, who are the members of this commission, of this task force? How many folks from east of the mountains?
Mr. Chair, it's Senator Nelson. It's chaired by Hanley Jenkins, an LCDC commissioner who is the county planning director in Union County. So very, very familiar with how this plays out east of the mountains. Tamara is a member. Harlan Levy is a member. Art Schlack. I think we have some other city members. I don't recall the members themselves, but we have representation certainly east of the mountains. And in fact, as I say, it's chaired by our commissioner from Union County, who's very familiar with how this plays out in eastern Oregon.
My sense then is that, I mean, just the people you've named, they're going to say, this is a good deal. Why don't we just go do it? I mean, that's the, I'm trying to get the bottom line practicality of this thing. And I just, from my viewpoint, it's hard for me to say why this is, why, you know, we're putting it out another 15 months. Then add on to that, that's just extra time for people don't have time to do anything. And, I mean, we're at a time when, I think we've got to be moving quickly. I mean, the governor's office has done a great job with those exceptions with those industrial lands. You know, he did the things out there in Pendleton, got the trailer park in there, and, you know, and the trailer manufacturer. And, I mean, those things are, let's get this thing done. That's how I'm feeling about it.
Some of you feel?
I do have a question of Mike, but I'll take a moment to get to it. Mike made the comment that a lot of this in some ways is symbolic, and I'm hearing that message. I do think that this amendment, giving them time, is a vote of confidence in LCDC to get her done. You know, we have a system that we've set up that we've been working in for a long time. About Measure 37, I think, threatens total anarchy in our whole land use system, and so I'm having a hard time not giving my good Republican colleague who heads this agency a chance to prove that he's making a difference, that the agency is listening, and so on. My only remaining question to Mike has to do with the fact that we were a 5-1 vote last time. To me, it looks like we're exactly where we were before. We might as well just vote and not spend too much more time in the committee. Mike didn't have a chance to talk to the governor about this issue because there's so many other pressing issues on the governor's plate. I'm wondering if by the time this would come back to the floor, if you could have a definitive word as to whether this would be a veto. There was some sense that it might be a veto, and then there was another sense that it might not. Before this came to the floor, is it possible to get the governor to speak one way or another on the issue, do you think?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, yes, I'll make an attempt to do that. The governor is going to be traveling extensively the next couple of weeks, and I hope to have the opportunity. I was hoping that truly that we could come up with a compromise here that would preclude us from even having that conversation with him. Obviously,
don't get me wrong, I'm in favor of the compromise.
Obviously, only he can use that word, and I'm not here to tell you that that I'm implying that he is going to do that. At the end of the day, he'll weigh all that we've been through. I just want to add one more thing. I would take issue with the previous statement that regardless of how this is done, whether in this committee or by the committee that Lane is working with, that it's going to be a political decision. I would take issue with that because I think one of the things that's represented here is you have, as I said, I think we'll get to the same place at the end of the day regardless of what happens, but you have two approaches here. One, which is the approach that would just eliminate the sunset, which I regard as a very utilitarian approach. And the arguments I hear even from the committee are very utilitarian, practical arguments. The other, and the approach that I am here to support, is one that is based upon principles of land use planning that were established 30 years ago, and one of those principles is that we have a process and we have a body that is to undertake these things. One of the words that Tamara used that I think applies here is bifurcation, and not in the sense that she used it, but in the sense that if we go forward and take a utilitarian approach with this particular issue, then all we're doing is bifurcating Oregon with regard to how we approach land use. We're bifurcating it socially, economically, rural versus urban, and in a way that I don't think we favor doing. Thank you.
I've already agreed to include the Winlamet.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I want to say again thanks to Representative Jensen. He's been very good to work with in the last few days. I sure appreciate, I know very well, the sense of on that side of the desk that you have an opportunity to do something. Let's just do it. I've learned something in my time over the past year and a few months about the executive process and trying to make that better too, and that's my request to you to give me a chance to do what I can to demonstrate commitment and good faith on this side of the divide as well. But thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Linda Ludwig and Harland, would you both come up? I'd give you about 2 minutes max. But I'd like to give you an opportunity to go on record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, Senior Staff Attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors. We, again, support removal of the sunset. I just wanted to respond to a couple of things that you heard this morning. You've all heard from me on this issue many, many times. First, I wanted to thank Ms. Mabbitt, not only for driving all the way here from Pendleton, but also for her yeoman's work on this. Those numbers that she has compiled, that chart that you have before you today, was given to the work group, which I am a member of. We had that at our second meeting, which was several months ago. The numbers have been continuously updated, so the version that you see in front of you today, I believe, is dated with a recent date on it. I was looking at it earlier. However, this chart has been, she's been working on this for many months now on her own time, so we really do thank her for that. I wanted to briefly respond to the letter that Mr. Carrier has written to you this morning, the July 11th letter, neither Mr. Shetterly nor Mr. Carrier was involved in those negotiations during the last legislative session, so I wanted to clear up exactly what went on during those negotiations. Since I was involved, it was the realtor bill that was part of the work group was being considered. It was House Bill 2689, which ultimately became House Bill 2614. And the reason that we installed the pilot, the reason that we installed the sunset was in order to create a pilot program so that we could come back to you in this session and let you know if it's working or not. And as a matter of fact, it has been working. You've heard testimony in previous committees about the number of jobs that were created by this pilot program in Umatilla as well as Hood River County. There was no understanding or any assertion that there would be any LCDC action on this. As a matter of fact, that didn't come until later. It wasn't until until LCDC met in a hearing in LeGrand that was attended, very well attended, by many of Representative Jensen and Senator Nelson's constituents, that LCDC then ordered that this work group be established. So back when we were negotiating back in the 2003 session, this wasn't even on the table. Nobody had thought this far ahead. As a matter of fact, the impetus behind House Bill 2689 of 2003 wasn't even the Hermiston situation. It was a situation in Mapleton, Oregon, which is in Lane County on your way to the coast. So this assertion that it was only an understanding that, you know, LCDC would amend a goal amendment, that was not the case back in 2003. One other thing I wanted to respond to, and Mr. Shetterly talked about the exception that was granted to Umatilla County. That is true. They were given an exception. However, it was not the entire exception that they needed. And I have a copy of a letter here dated May 12, 2005, to Ms. Mabbitt, Tamara Mabbitt, the Umatilla County Planning Director, from John Jennings, the regional representative of DLCD, where he says, and I quote, simply stated, the department does not find adequate justification for a Goal 14 exception. The department recommends that Umatilla County abandon the pursuit of a Goal 14 exception in favor of the application of a rural light industrial zone, end quote. I think the department could have fixed this problem very easily had they given this exception, and Umatilla County wouldn't be here today as the poster child for this issue. However, they did not, which makes me worried that the work group may not reach the conclusion that we need it to reach. And I want to close by saying that this is really a symbolic gesture. The legislature has an opportunity here to do something in the area of land use that is not a significant change in the statewide land use planning program, yet it is a symbolic change. And this issue has received widespread coverage in Eastern Oregon. All the newspapers there have covered this very closely. And this is something that the people out there are very much plugged into. And you have an opportunity here in the passage of Measure 37, where much of Eastern Oregon feels like the state bureaucracy has basically been on their air hose all these years. You have an opportunity to...
You're about to lose yes vote.
Okay, I apologize. Yeah. I will conclude my testimony. Thank you very much.
Ms. Ludwig?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. Just briefly, as I sat before you in our prior conference committee, I talked about an issue I'd like to put into the record. The bill that was passed in the prior legislative session, HB 2689, contained a provision which, according to Legislative Council and Mr. Levy, and I need to thank Mr. Levy for checking into this, is still applicable in the B engrossed version of this bill. And I'd like to read that provision to you into the record. Although you don't see it in your B engrossed version, it is still applicable. And it says, notwithstanding the authority granted in the appropriate section to allow industrial development, including accessory uses subordinate to the industrial development, in areas zoned for industrial, when a county or its designee considers an action under the appropriate section in the B engrossed version for land within 10 miles of the urban growth boundary of a city, the county or its designee shall give notice to the city at least 21 days in prior to taking action. If the city objects to the authorization of industrial development under the appropriate section, the city and county shall negotiate to establish conditions on the industrial development or changes in the development necessary to mitigate concerns raised by the city's objection. This was an important part of that negotiation that you heard about last legislative session. It is still the underpinning of this legislation, as this issue is, since cities are sensitive to the permitting of industrial and commercial development outside of UGBs.
Okay, thank you both.
Mr. Senator.
I didn't understand what the impact of your reading that into the test into the record.
It was in the base bill 2458 in the A engrossed version of the bill,
right?
Which also contained commercial use. I when I, about 2 weeks ago, took a look again at the B. N. Gross version and started vibrating off the walls as we realized the conference committee was coming forward, Harlan went down to the Legislative Council to get an amendment to make ensure that that was still here in the bill because it was part of the deal. And when he went down and visited with Mr. Conley, Mr. Conley informed him that that portion of the original legislation had not expired, would not be changed if 2458 were to pass. Therefore, you would not need to see it in the printed B. N. Gross version of the bill. I believe I have that correct if Mr. Harlan would care to comment, and Mr. Levy would care to comment.
Representative Jensen had a question.
Are you ready for a motion, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair?
I think the
I was a yes. I'm not a yes anymore. I mean, you're bringing brand new information to me. I need to, you know, I need to know if you're saying something different, if you're putting something into the record of significance.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ringo, I did put this into the record at the last conference committee we had and spoke about it, and there were no questions from me or any members of the audience. Because this is a new conference committee, and I wanted to ensure that it was in the record.
So what you just said is identical to what was at the prior conference committee?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do the vote yes.
Thank you very much.
Quickly, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jensen. You have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm of the House Conference Committee. I move we concur in the Senate amendments dated June 13th to House Bill 2458 and that the bill be further amended with the B-11 amendments dated July 6th, 05.
Representative Jensen has moved that we concur with Senate amendments dated June 13th and be amended with B-11 amendments dated 7605. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator?
I'd like to understand procedurally the effect of the B-11 amendments. Maybe the committee administrator could explain them. We had moved the bill out last time where the sunset had been removed. Correct?
Correct.
What is the effect of the
This does the exact same thing, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Just removes the sunset. This is an identical amendment that we adopted at the first conference committee. It's just been redrafted, renumbered, and redated to reflect that this is a current second conference committee. So this amendment, the B-11, just removes the sunset.
So, yeah, Mr. Chair, just follow up. I haven't been in a conference committee where we've played ping pong like this with a bill, right. But or you. I would have thought that the bill in its current form would be without the sunset, since that's how we passed it out of this conference committee earlier.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, without getting a chief parliamentarian down here,
okay.
My understanding is only one chamber took action on that version of the bill. The other chamber did not, so it nullified that version.
Okay.
So we had to start back and then recreate that version again.
I'm fine with that.
Any further discussion?
Yeah. Seems to me the only point of B-11 is to prove that this committee met a second time. I still am a no vote, not changing, because I think that what we're doing is denying a vote of confidence to LCDC. I don't see any good reason to do that since this was a compromise that was acceptable up until a few days ago. That's this -12 amendment or whatever it is. I just wanted to go on record as saying I think that we owe the system a chance to work. Yeah, they've not performed the way we want up to this point, maybe, but we have a new director. He's trying very hard, and the governor has put power in his hands to do things. The governor seems to be trying to work it. Making available development all over the state, all the shovel-ready stuff that we've heard about. So I'm just sorry that we're not helping an agency when they're asking us for the kind of help that they need.
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I don't feel that I'm putting LCDC on trial here today. We're trying to get something done for the people of Oregon. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Ackerman.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
Aye.
Senator Reno.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
No.
Chair Girard.
The chair votes aye. The House Bill 2458, we concur with the Senate amendment dated June 13th,
Mr. Chair,
and be amended with the 11s.
I'm sorry, we just voted on the 11s, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the motion carried the B11.
Yes.
Correct.
This committee is adjourned.
Do you want to put on the record the carriers?
You need to have.
Who do we have as the carriers?
Last time we had Senator Ringo.
Yeah. Senator Ringo, would you like to carry it on the Senate side?
I would be happy to.
Senator Ringo will carry on the Senate side. Representative Jensen, would you like to carry it on the House side?
He will. Have we done everything?
Mr. Chair, we passed the B11. Now we need to move the bill, correct?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the motion included the adoption of the amendment to be engrossed, and then that version of the bill get moved to the floor.
I'm fine.
And I need your signatures on three copies.
Okay, well,
thank you.
This conference committee is adjourned.